So as we approach the end of another year, 2025, can you believe it? So I got to ask y'all, how are your New Year's resolutions of 2025 going? We're getting close to having to make new ones. I'm happy to tell you that my 2025 resolution of losing 15 pounds is going well. I only have 25 to go. So this month, Pastor Sean and I are doing a series on Isaiah's Advent prophecies that he began last week. And last week we heard about God's holy mountain in Isaiah chapter 2. So in the passage we are going to go through here this morning, in Isaiah 11, we get a lot of cool imagery, like trees, animals, and a mountain. So you've heard me talk a lot about mountains before. The same goes for trees. Whenever you see this tree imagery being used in Scripture, pay close attention, because you're going to see that crimson thread Jesus there, which is why this is titled the Advent Shoot and Root Message. So I've broken this passage up into three sections that we're going to go through here this morning. So let's begin here in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, and I'm actually going to be then jumping to verse 10. So there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And then verse 10, in that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. All right, notice that the one, capital O, who is coming, is first called a shoot. Now, this can also be translated sprout, twig, branch. I've seen it translated as stick, rod, whatever. But it's also, Isaiah is referring to the one coming as the root. So we're going to need some, we obviously have a lot of tree imagery here, and we're going to need some context, because that will help us understand what Isaiah is talking about here in chapter 11. So in chapter 10, verse 34, the verse right before this, it says this: he will cut down the thickets of the forest with an axe, and Lebanon will fall by the majestic one. So the trees being talked about here in chapter 10, verse 34, is Assyria, who is a giant menace to God's people. And chapter 10 here is concluding with the arrogant tree of Assyria being chopped down by the magnificent one, the majestic one. Obviously God. But Assyria is also the one that who God has allowed to chop down Judah. So we have two trees being talked about here that have been chopped down. But only one of them will arise again in new life. In comes a shoot from the stump of Jesse. So who's Jesse? Jesse is the father of David, the greatest king of Israel, David. And we know from other passages in the Bible that the Messiah would come from the line of David. Like, for example, Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 23 and 24. And I have it up on the screen here. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. He's not talking about David. When Ezekiel is writing this, David is dead and long gone. My servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. I love when God says that, don't you? So who else is in the line of David? Well, you can go to Matthew chapter 1 to look at this. It gives you the whole genealogy here. But in the line of David is Joseph, the earthly dad of Jesus. So, of course, Jesus is in the line of David. Jesus is the shoot. And here's a picture to give you an idea of what we're looking at with the stump and this new life sprout coming out. Because remember, Judah's been chopped down. But they have hope. And then, in verse 10, which I read, you hear that he is not only the shoot, but the root too. You see, this isn't about Jesse or David or anybody that's going to come in the kingship of the Davidic line. This is way bigger than any of them could imagine. Jesus is the root, the foundation of everything. The Son of God has always been, Jesus is the King. Jesus is the shoot. Jesus is the root. Let's go on here in Isaiah chapter 11 to our second section. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. So what we have here in these verses from Isaiah chapter 11 is that we are getting the credentials of this coming one, the Messiah. You see, Christ is Jesus' title. It's not his last name. It's his title, Jesus Christ. And Christ means the anointed one. Jesus is the one, the Savior that will be coming. Remember, Isaiah is writing this around 700 years before that first Christmas. But this is the one that is coming. And we are told that he has every trait and ability to make him the perfect, and I mean perfect, ruler. And then we learn in these verses that Jesus is also the judge. Not only is he going to be the king, the anointed one, he is going to be the judge who does not judge based on what he sees or hears. Okay, think about that for a second. If we were all judged just by what Jesus sees and hears us do, we would be in a world of hurt, wouldn't we? However, make no mistake, Jesus does see everything we do and hears everything we do. He sees and hears it all, and yet, he still went to that cross and allowed himself to be nailed to it for us. And this king judge will not judge by mere outward appearances like all the other kings and judges typically did. And this is interesting because of the way King David was picked. Do you remember the event of King David when he was chosen as God's next king of Israel? Jesse brought out all his sons who were big and strong and handsome and didn't even bother to call David in, who was shepherding the flock out in the fields, because he was short and he was the runt of the family and he was out doing the dirty work of being a shepherd. He didn't even bring David in. But Samuel, God's prophet at the time, goes over all those guys and said, nope, this is an image. Do you have any other sons? Well, I have David. That's the one. Because of David's heart. Not his outward appearances. Our Lord doesn't care what we look like. What social class we are in. How much money we make. What kind of job we have. How popular we are. How good we are at sports. He looks at what is in our hearts. And this new king, Jesus, will rule rightly and fairly with righteousness and equity and not in self-interest. Isn't it good that we don't have any world rulers who only think of themselves when they rule? And it also says that this king, Jesus, will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Jesus has no patience for evil. And his word that comes from his mouth will convict, which is exactly the purpose of God's law that we read in his word. Especially when we just look at the Ten Commandments, we are convicted. But the difference between us believers and the evildoers, unbelievers, is we recognize that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. And the difference between this king and all the other kings that they've ever had or will have will lay down his life for his people. Let's finish this up here in verses 6 through 9. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the world, the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. So we learn a lot here from these verses. We learn that Jesus, the coming one, the king, the judge, is also the prince of peace. What we see here in these verses I just read is the ultimate peace. And this is extremely comforting, isn't it? Because we live in a world of disappointment, despair, death, and destruction, don't we? It's a lot of D words. And just like the chopped down tree that we are seeing here in Isaiah 11, that's only now a stump because of the sin and destruction in this world, it's exactly what we face in our daily lives here in this world. You know, we deal with diseases and sicknesses and accidents and tragedies. We deal with floods and hurricanes, fires, tornadoes, earthquakes. We deal with depression and anxiety. We deal with broken relationships. And we deal with death here in this world, death of loved ones that have gone on before us. And we all know that we're going to die because of our sin. And you know what? Sometimes we can get caught up in all of this destruction, this despair, feeling like we have been chopped down. Anybody felt that way before? And then we can start to think that we have no hope. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to think, that there is no hope. But remember the shoot coming up out of that stump. That shoot represents hope. In the midst of destruction and despair, that shoot represents life and salvation. Because of this cross, that our King, Judge, Savior allowed himself to be nailed to, we have hope. We know that this world is not it. And then in these verses, we get some amazing imagery. And did you hear what the peace, or about the peace this Prince of Peace brings? You got wolves hanging out with lambs. That's not normal. You got leopards hanging out with goats. You got cows and bears grazing together in harmony. You've got Hoosiers hanging out with Boilermakers and Buckeyes. And you got Bears and Packers fans in unity. You have children playing next to cobra dens. What this tells us is everything is going to be safe under the protective watch of the Prince of Peace. And guess what? We have that peace now, here in this world right now. And it tells us in Scripture, this is the peace that passes all understanding. Have you ever felt that before? That something's just going terrible in your life and you feel like you've been chopped down to a stump, but yet there's that peace that passes all understanding. We have that peace now, but we're also hearing about a peace we don't have yet. This ultimate peace when we are in heaven. But we will be in that ultimate peace when King Jesus comes again at his second advent, when he returns and he brings us home. Amen.